The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Happy Saturday and welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. It is game day in Chiefs Kingdom as the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Chicago Bears later this afternoon. It's preseason game number one, so let's get you caught up on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network before the Chiefs take the field today at noon. We'll start things off with the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show. They've got some questions they'd like to have answered in Saturday's preseason game. After that, we'll follow things up with the Out of Structure podcast. The guys discuss some players that they think will live up to the training camp hype. We'll follow that up with the Great British Chiefs Show. They discuss some expectations for Saturday's preseason debut. After that, we'll take a quick time out when we get back coast to coast, discuss some players to watch. And then we'll finish things up with Show and BK as they talk about the training camp darling Isaiah Pacheco and whether or not we're buying into the hype. We're getting you prepared for the Chiefs' first preseason game today at noon. Make sure you stay locked into the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. I will be live with Rocky Magana immediately following the game on the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. That's all coming up on today's Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show, Pete Sweeney, John Dixon, and now we bring in the Arrowhead Pride audio producer, Steve Serta. Steve, before we got on, Lily, by the way, his dog, sounded like she was upset about something. Has everything calmed down behind the glass?
Yeah, now she's laying right in front of my desk just snoring. You can't hear her snoring, but you could hear her freaking out when somebody else was walking a dog down the hallway in my apartment.
See,
building.
A lot of people have wind guards on their mics. Steve with his dog has a snore guard, and we're happy about that. All right, John, we'll get started with you. You've got a lot of the experience here, so we'll go with you first. What is your burning question heading into preseason game number one?
There's been a lot of talk about, not much talk about Trent McDuffie in this this training camp period that mm-hmm. we're going through because, he's a cornerback. The headlines always go to the wide receivers. And if you're a good cornerback and Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing the ball your way, you don't make the reports coming out of training camp because he's going to a different receiver that's more open. So sometimes no news is good news, but there's still a question in people's minds. And we also know that McDuffie, as a smaller corner, right, is going to be most effective when he can really hit people. So I'm very interested to see what he looks like against the stronger competition of a real game, if you can call a preseason game a real game. At least they're hitting each other.
Yeah.
And see if that makes a difference in what we see from him. And maybe it'll make people, a little less anxious about it.
I think Trent McDuffie had quieter start to camp. Didn't look as good as I thought he should look as a first rounder. I know that, look, everybody has growing pains in the NFL. MVS with his size was picking on him a little bit. And I think in recent days, he has looked a bit better at training camp. And look, that happens with any rookie. I think it is a little interesting that Joshua Williams has seemed to get more press than McDuffie has. And that could change in this game setting. The Chicago Bears, by the way, have some taller receivers. So speaking of being undersized, Byron Pringle, who we know well, 6 feet one, Equanimeous St. Brown, I believe, is 6'5". N'Keal Harry, who came over from the Patriots, is 6'4". So perhaps we will see McDuffie against some of these taller receivers in one-on-one situations. I think that's going to be important for his confidence to do well when he is against a taller NFL receiver, because you are an undersized cornerback. So let's see how you fare in those practice reps.
I will say this about McDuffie too, because we've talked a ton on the training camp reports about how it seems like we're just not talking about him. And when we do talk about him, it's kind of negative. I think he's the kind of cornerback where he needs game action. Like, he needs game action for you to really evaluate what you have in him, because he likes playing physical off the line of scrimmage. He likes bumping and trying to slow those guys getting into their routes. And you don't always see that when you're just playing against your teammates, because you don't want guys to get chippy and be like, why are you playing me all physical off the line of scrimmage, man? We're on the same team. And so it's hard to get that style of play in practice. And so I think it's really important for him to see that in a game.
All right, Steve, we'll stick with you. What is your first burning question heading into the preseason?
John went with the cornerbacks, and I'm going with the wide receivers. And it's really just, I want to get an answer to some of the wide receiver depth on this team. And, you know, you've talked about Justin Watson a ton, and we think Darius Fountain is going to be a member of this team, solely probably because of his special teams ability. But I want to see how they're going to utilize them. I want to see how they're going to deploy them. And I know preseason game one, probably not going to see a ton of MVS, probably not going to see a ton of Juju Smith-Schuster, but we could see a lot of Mecole Hardman. Like, we could see a lot of Sky Moore. We could see a lot of these other guys who are really trying to fight for roster spots, like a Josh Gordon. So I'm just curious how they deploy them, and curious if we can get an answer a little bit more to how they might actually rotate this group of guys during the regular season. Because even if the starters only play a series, I still think that you can take something away from the way they rotate the rest of the group.
This is just my opinion, and I alluded to it before, but I think Watson is making the club. And so now you're talking about four or five guys vying for the one spot. And I think this game, to your point, Steve, is key, because as you go along here, the Chiefs' first team offense, typically what Andy Reid will do is he'll give the first team offense the first half next game. And in the third game, typically they'll go into what is the third quarter. So there'll be less and less opportunity for those depth spots once you get past what is game one. And man, I think Josh Gordon needs to go out and have a good game Saturday.
Yeah.
I think that he knows from, did you guys hear that press conference today? I'm sitting there, and this guy does not think he's making the roster. I mean, I'm telling you that. I can sense it. And I think he knows how important Saturday's game is for him. You know, you talk about a gamer. I think he needs to make a couple plays. And maybe not even just for Kansas City, but maybe he's, you know, they say that everyone watches the preseason all across the league. Maybe he's auditioning, if he is cut by the Chiefs, to land with somebody else.
I think that's a great point, Pete, because I thought the same thing when Steve mentioned Josh Gordon when he was bringing up his point. It's like, oh, there's a guy that we haven't seen in a preseason game. He wasn't on the team a year ago when these preseason games were coming up. And this really could be a great opportunity for him to show what he's capable of doing, not just for the Chiefs, but maybe, as you said, for another team. I'm a little concerned about Fountain because of this weird injury situation that he's going through. Well, you know, they said it was a groin one day, and then the next day it was a finger injury, and he had to get x-rays, and then he came back on the field the next day. And then today, he worked all the way through practice yesterday, and then today he's on the sidelines again.
Got the groin again. Yeah.
Yes.
This has been a weird situation. It went groin, finger, and then back to the groin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can look into this tomorrow, but I'm not sure if it's the same side. I imagine it is, but I don't know that definitively. But you're right.
Yeah.
Fountain is a player, and I saw this in OTAs when he was missing OTAs, and we didn't really know why. He's a player that needs to be on the field if he's going to make the team.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, Fortson actually could stay on the PUP and maybe not even play to the third game. I think he's on the roster. Fountain needs to be on the field. I think Corey Coleman has had his moments at camp, and Cornell Powell actually has had his moments at camp. And so I'm also sort of curious as to what they do. But you're right, Steve. I think the depth wide receivers, this game is very key for them. My first question is, what are we going to see at first team right tackle? What are we going to see at second team right tackle? Because this has been a situation where we went into camp thinking that it would be Andrew Wiley versus the fifth round pick, Darian Kennard. And there had been those rumblings nationally. Could Kennard win this job? I remember saying on this show, man, it feels like he's even the favorite. And it really hasn't been the case. Andrew Wiley held the spot and was the only right tackle that the first team saw until 2 days ago when Jaron Christian got in the mix and got an opportunity at right tackle. And then I saw a weird rotation on what was Monday's look today. And it was Wiley sliding in to right guard and allowing Christian to play right tackle for half the first team series. And what was odd about that was Trey Smith was coming off the field, and I'm pretty damn sure Trey Smith is the starting right guard. So I think they're starting to try to maybe get Wiley rotating a bit more because maybe he isn't going to be the starter, and maybe they want him to be this ultimate swing guy. Remember, he can play left tackle, left guard, right tackle. And I think they are high on Jaron Christian, and we'll see if Kennard maybe begins to get in that mix. Right now, he's predominantly just been that second team right tackle. So this Wiley Christian battle is suddenly emerging, and I'm curious as to see how the Chiefs operate it with it on Saturday.
It seems like I make this point all the time, but the Chiefs love Andrew Wiley.
I know.
And I think that's always something to remember when we're having this conversation.
He's versatile.
They love this guy. They love his attitude. He's coachable. He does what he's told. He works hard to be versatile. It could be just as simple as that. They wanted to give him some snaps at guard. So he's had some snaps at guard recently in practice, and it's got nothing to do with anything else. But it might not mean that. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's fair to ask that question. And it will be interesting to see how this game plays out in that respect. Maybe we'll have an entirely different idea of what's going on after we see this game. But I always, keep it in the back of my head that Andy Heck and the Chiefs love them some Andrew Wiley. And I think that informs a lot of decisions here.
Yeah, and he's got an underrated Twitter. I just pulled it up, and recently he's tweeted whole lot of swinging and banging, hashtag UFC 271, officially 0-1 in credit card roulette. So he got a new trading card, and he tweeted out bing bong. This was leading into camp, and I've said it before, but his Twitter profile says his Madden rank does not define him. Madden is not kind to Wiley when it comes to hit the ratings, but he doesn't care. He's got a great Twitter. He loves video games, and look, we're rooting for Andrew Wiley. I don't know if he's necessarily the strong point of the Chiefs offensive line, but I his best role is in this emergency pinch. You can put him anywhere. He's your sixth offensive lineman, but hey, they're given an opportunity to keep that position. I had mentioned that he started that really it was against the New Orleans Saints where he just had to play there due to injuries. And he's been pretty reliable for the Chiefs. Like, obviously not the most ideal player at that position. You'd maybe want to be a little bit better there, but a reliable player for the Chiefs. All right, John, we'll swing back to you for another question heading into preseason game one.
When we go into this season, we thought that the Chiefs are going to make a lot of moves at defensive end. They said they were going to, and that's what Brett Veach said. And we got a first-round defensive end. Okay, that's a big move, right? Yeah. But we didn't see a lot of other stuff until Carlos Dunlap came on the scene here, just like in the last week. So I've always been wondering if the Chiefs were expecting a lot more production than we knew was possible with players like Malik Herring and Joshua Kando. So that's my question here. Is this is an opportunity for these guys to get some real snaps. We haven't seen Herring at all.
Herring and Kando, to your point, have had quiet camps. And people were especially optimistic about Herring, maybe less so about Kando. But yeah. Kane, though, you heard more about last year. This is a raw player. We'll see in year two. Right. Now we're in year two, and you're not really hearing about him.
Well, and there may be reasons for that that we're not aware of. But so this is an opportunity for them, just like Josh Gordon. This is an opportunity for them to get into a situation where they can play at game level and go after guys, even if they're the third string guys on another team, and show what they can do. So I'm very interested to see about that, because in the back of my mind, I was thinking the Chiefs were expecting more production out of them than we saw last year. In Herring's case, the bar was set very low because he was injured the whole time. But Kando did get some time even in the regular season. So I'm very interested to see what they do.
It is curious because Kando's a guy they drafted, but Malik Herring was a guy that had a little bit of hype around him coming in training camp. Because
he looked great during OTAs.
Yeah, and he's a player who, you know, what was a higher prospect than he wound up being coming into the NFL. Like, he had a higher ceiling, a lot of people thought, and it just doesn't seem like it's manifested now. So I think it is interesting that he's a player we have not talked about at all. And yeah, we were talking about him a ton during OTAs, and I guess Kando's just not somebody I ever expected that much from. And if you got anything from him, you were like, awesome. Like, that's cool from a late round draft pick.
That's right. All right, Steve, we'll stick with you for your next question.
So mine kind of has to do with that defensive end position too. And really, it's just, is George Karlaftis going to be the starter opposite of Frank Clark?
Right.
I know they're working Carlos Dunlap in slow. And so maybe it's too early to feel like we have a definitive answer there, because maybe they're going to keep doing this where they're really going slow. He's a veteran and they know he can pick up the defense, so they don't want to overwork him in training camp. But I think if you bring in a player like what Carlos Dunlap has done in his career and what he did last season on one of the worst defensive lines in football in Seattle, if George Karlaftis can still manage to be the starter with Dunlap being like a rotational player, I think that says a lot about what they think of George Karlaftis. And I know he's a first round draft pick, but if he can actually hold off Carlos Dunlap and be the starting defensive end come week one of the NFL season, I think Chiefs fans should be really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think what you'll see is Karlaftis getting some time there. I don't know how much we should be talking when it comes to Karlaftis and Clark and not mentioning Dana. And I know maybe that'll make Chiefs fans roll their eyes, but I think Dana's going to get what might equate in a rotation type of thing of a lot of defensive end snaps this year. And something I've noticed, and this is, if you're up at camp, you've probably noticed this too. This new Joe Cullen line is a little bit more multiple looks than it might have been for the Daly line. And you've seen multiple defensive ends lining up at once in different positions. Sometimes they'll kick Dana inside. Sometimes you see Chris Jones at outside. You know, they've really been mixing it up so as to make sure that the offensive line really can't predict who's coming where. You know, are they doing stunts? Mm-hmm. Is there a games situation happening along the line? And so Dana is a player that's interesting to me too. Not the sexiest name, but we just talked about it before. He wants to have 5 or 6 sacks this year. And like we said, how much they love Andrew Wiley on the defensive line, they really like Mike Dana.
Yeah. As we kind of get into the pod more, we'll definitely talk about more of the positions, because I think these next couple segments will kind of preview some of the other positions we could talk about that are kind of on the bubble here. And so we're going to go into some superlatives here, fellas, kind of a way to, you know, preview what's going on this year, whether it's right now or kind of future projection. And right now I want to hear from you guys. Christian, I'll start with you. If you have one, let me know, because I definitely have a good one I want to start off with here if I can. Most likely to live up to the training camp hype. I'm going to go for it, man. I think it's Sky Moore. I do think. And you know, and when I say training camp hype, maybe I should clarify, like, I don't think he's going to, like, maybe some people think he's going to be the best receiver on the team, you know, not that hype. He's not living up to that hype maybe. But I do think he is good enough to earn a role in the offense and maybe even push some other players from having as big a role as they maybe thought previously. Right. I think, you know, we've seen him lately getting these handoffs from the backfield, you know, running these counter plays too. I kind of mentioned, you know, on Twitter at the beginning of camp that, could he be used in a halfback hybrid role? kind of like we've seen, you know, guys like Deebo Samuel most famously. But I mean, even in you know, with the Chiefs, I mean, Tyreek Hill's been using that role earlier in his career. So I think in terms of earning a position on the offense and being an impact player and being a guy that, you know, we're all going to at the end of the year be like, man, the offense, you know, really needed him to be a weapon. And like, really, you know, I think Sky Moore is going to be a very impactful player for the offense this year. I think he does live up to that kind of hype. Any thoughts?
No, that's if Sky Moore comes out in year one and puts up the numbers that he's thinking about putting up and makes the impact that is kind of playing all over the field, giving Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes just another option to just another kind of, you know, quiver or arrow in the quiver, you know, like
right.
It's that team is going to explode because right now he's wide receiver four. And if you're wide receiver four, he's wide receiver four. We'll get to it later, Rocky.
Here's the thing is that right now he is wide receiver four. Does he end up being wide receiver four? I'm not so sure. And that's the thing is now he's a little undersized to be in that Deebo Samuel role. Doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't going to try to utilize him in that because he's still bigger than Jerrion Ealy, you know, for instance. Yeah. But here's the thing that's kind of you got to think about also, though. What rookie wide receiver has found success in Andy Reid's offense? I went back and looked at it a few different times, and the two wide receivers in the history of Andy Reid being a head coach in the NFL in their rookie seasons that actually had, we'll say, success as over 700 yards receiving on the season, there's been two of them, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. Now, both of those guys were that dude when they came out of college. Sky Moore could be that dude, but if you think back, when was the last time the Chiefs have had a rookie wide receiver that showed out? I mean, Dwayne Bowe? You got to go back to Dwayne Bowe probably, right?
Well, hey, here's the thing. I mean, McColl wasn't, you know, a great receiver at the start of it at all. He still isn't, obviously, but his yards per target his rookie season was like historically good. And I think that shows you that there is something too. I think, you know, maybe as a compliment, maybe as some, you know, a weapon that the NFL hasn't seen yet when they have to focus on Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, other weapons around him, like happened in McColl's first season. You know, maybe there's opportunity for him to kind of explode in that limited role where, yeah, he's maybe not getting any sort of, you know, crazy volume or anything. But again, McColl's yards per target was like, it was up there with like the most anyone's ever done in a season in recent history. And so, like, I think, you know, I'm not, obviously McColl's a little more big play aspect maybe than Sky Moore is, but he's
how dare you compare Sky Moore to Mecole Hardman? Right, Sky Moore is three Mecole Hardmans at least.
All right. Tyreek Hill's rookie season, 860 scrimmage yards.
There we go. There we go.
Okay.
And that has no effect on the impact he made on special teams. But he had 860 scrimmage yards his rookie season with one start.
Which Sky Moore could be the punt returner. It seems like he may be the punt returner. So, well, hey, maybe we transition right into most likely to lead the receiver room in total yards after that discussion, because it is a heated debate here in the AP chat rooms. Rocky, who I'm gonna get you here. Most likely to lead the receiver room in total yards. Who is it?
It's Juju. It's definitely Juju. There is not another answer other than Juju. If Juju stays healthy, he's gonna go for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Him and Mahomes have already a copacetic link up where they're mind melded, and he's making the contested catches. Mahomes trusts him. He's going his way consistently. He's got the size. He's done it before in this league when he was healthy and when he had a top tier quarterback. I mean, there's no reason to think that if Juju plays all season that he's not going to show out and lead the wide receiver room in yards.
Christian,
it's McColl.
Ah,
it's not close.
Oh wow. Okay, you can't say that. Close. Can you say that?
So it's going to be McColl because all of the routes we've seen everybody run at training camp have been pretty much the same route tree. The only one who's doing anything different is McColl with that whip route. It's the only one that's a complex route that's reading the defense.
He runs the whip route, and that's what he runs.
What else does he run? He doesn't run a complete route tree. That's why his target share has always been so low, because he can't run a complete route tree. He skips steps in and out of every single one of his breaks. The man cannot run routes. I'm sorry. I he's very fast, and I like his personality, and he is what he is. He's a James Jett. He's a Quadri Ishmael. He's a Raheem Ishmael. He's a John Ross. He's a Kadarius Toney, maybe. Not even a Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney's better than Mecole Hardman. I mean, Mecole Hardman is a fast guy who is a weapon, but he's not a complete player, and there is no way that he ever leads your wide receiver room.
So we're talking total yards. So I'm getting those rushing yards as well. And all of those jet sweeps, all of those, you know, quick motions, all of those little bits, he's going to be the most productive receiver in this room.
And so
then why wasn't he the most productive receiver besides Tyreek Hill last year? He should have been the wide receiver two last year, and he wasn't.
Are we sure he wasn't? Who was second in receiver? I mean, it might have been. I'm sure it was Mecole, honestly.
It was
okay. So if it was Mecole, he wasn't a wide receiver too. I mean, 590 yards or 560 yards is not wide receiver two.
Totally.
That's your wide receiver two.
What's the total?
His total yards? 591.
Wow.
He's
739.
739. Sorry. 2020 was 591. He's never topped 750 yards from scrimmage in his entire career.
Well, the argument is that for Mecole is that he is the leader, the most experienced player in the receiving room, which you just talked about how hard it is sometimes for rookie receivers or just first year receivers in general, maybe for them to get down the first year offense. Although it's not always true with veteran receivers, as we've seen maybe with like a Sammy Watkins.
True,
but at the same time, no, I do think there is something to the touches he may get, just being that most, you know, being the receiver that's actually been in the offense, and he can maybe put in the most positions, the most different positions, while the other receivers, you know, maybe right at first they have to be a little more limited with what they do, what they're asked to do, because they don't know the offense maybe as much as Mecole Hardman hopefully does, right? Like maybe, you know, maybe that's us projecting. Like we don't know. We've seen total miscommunication with Mahomes and Mecole at times, and that's what, you know, maybe because I was with you, Christian, for a long time, and I still want to be with you. I think I'm going to lean on being with you just because I stood, you know, I want to stand on my ground. I want to stand on my takes. I don't want to take off. You know, I don't want to change my takes too much.
Rocky is so mad.
He is very mad.
Listen, Mecole Hardman was in a historically great wide receiver class, and this whole, like, it takes time to develop. Every other good wide receiver who's worth their salt in that wide receiver class got paid this offseason.
But like, imagine if those same receivers were playing, and trust me, I still think they're better than Mecole. So don't take that this as me saying that.
If
but
Terry
like,
McLaurin is playing in Kansas City,
with Tyreek and Travis,
he still gets 1,200 yards. I think.
McLaurin, it's just really hard to do.
McLaurin is a complete wide receiver. You can't tell me that Terry McLaurin's not going to produce more than Mecole Hardman. You have to scheme Mecole Hardman into the game. How many of his targets are manufactured touches?
You're 100%
everybody.
Yeah, yes, that is true too. But you're right. Mecole's game has mostly been that lately. But we have not. We are projecting this, right? It is more projection. We're not talking about what has happened, right? We are projecting that. Look, without Tyreek Hill, without having that speed element that he's had, you know, in the offense, you know, Mecole has to kind of step up and be some of that stuff that Tyreek's had to do. Not all of it, right? But some of the stuff that Tyreek's had to do. And so that's
or MVS is. Or MVS yes, and that, becomes and, that guy.
Yes, yeah. And that's
wide receiver four MVS.
Yeah, but I'm pretty much at that point now where I've got excited over Chiefs camp. And I'm really looking forward to seeing those kind of players that we've seen really excelling in Chiefs camp kind of lighten it up and getting their opportunity in a preseason game. Yeah, okay, it doesn't matter.
Well, then you're not going to see those type of plays because they've been on the internet for the last 2 weeks. So, of course, they're not going to run those plays. Our opposing NFL scouts are like looking at these plays all on the internet and going, well, we see that formation. We know Sky Moore's coming out of the back. We'll see a jet sweep. Like Andy Reid's basically having to show off two types of playbooks at the moment. He's got his show book, which has been played out of training camp.
Yeah.
And then he's behind closed doors playbook. I don't think like come on, like it's not exactly a secret, the NFL at the moment, is it? What the Chiefs are trying to run, because it's all over the internet.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, but like you said, Andy Reid's smart. He's a smart guy. He'll throw something out there that's like, oh, they'll lap this up. All defensive coordinators will pick this up, and they'll be scheming for it, and then they just won't use it during the season.
I hope so. I really hope it's all a decoy now.
Oh yeah, it has to be a decoy. The thing I'm really looking forward to seeing actually this time, and I've never really looked at this since we had the likes of Jamal Charles, but the running back room that we've got at the moment, I think we're going to use these preseason games quite a bit more just to throw in the running backs and just see what they can do on this, and not like open the playbook as much as like you were, you know, as you were saying. So, you know, watching somebody like Isaiah Pacheco, who's been really lighting it up, but also seeing how Ronald Jones happens and how he's, you know, adapting to this new offense.
Yeah.
But also Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, we probably won't see him much because obviously he's probably pretty much locked in as the RB1, isn't he? But I think the Chiefs are just going to be just running it, and just seeing what these RBs can do.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point where you've got four quarters and you've got four or five running backs going for three spots.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to give them all a decent run. And obviously, the big one at the moment is Isaiah Pacheco. Everyone's talking about Isaiah Pacheco. He is the Fred Williams of this camp. He really is. Like, he is the guy that everyone's hyping up. And like, you need to remember that he has like three players ahead of him in the depth chart before he even gets there. Like, no one's talking about Jerick McKinnon. Like, no one is talking about Jerick McKinnon.
Which is odd because he's been playing really well, especially towards the end of last year.
Yeah, he was like, okay, might have been through luck that he was the RB1 for his part, but he was the playoff running back for us. Yeah. He was the guy, and he performed very well towards the back end of the season. Yet here we are, Chiefs camp, or 8 months later, and no one's talking about Jerick McKinnon. Everyone's talking about Clyde, Isaiah Pacheco. And then there's kind of conversations about, will Ronald Jones actually make the final 53? Like that's the big one I'm seeing at the moment. Like, is he doing enough? There's reports out there that he's doing very well in pass protection, but in terms of the other stuff that they're asking him to do, he's been like not as great as the other guys. But there are stories like this all over Chiefs camp. Like, you only have to look at the offensive line going into the season. Like, we all know who the four offensive line are, from left tackle through to right guard, but we're looking at his right tackle position. It's like, well, who's going to be the guy to start? Is it going to be Andrew Wiley? Is it going to be Kennard? Is it going to be Christensen? This guy, Christian?
Oh, yeah. He's plucked out of nowhere, hasn't he? Yeah.
Like, I don't even know his full name, because it's like I hadn't even heard of this guy 2 weeks ago. But apparently he's the one that's getting all the runs out of the ones, him and Wiley. So that's something certainly to watch in preseason. But in terms of like Mahomes, Kelsey, all those type of guys, what they do, Juju, Sky Moore, like, you're going to see so few genuine plays out of the Andy Reid system this Saturday that we really not going to be able to get a feel as to what they're going to be doing this season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it worth them suiting up? I mean, for this first preseason?
Do you think they will?
I don't know if they will. I mean, is it worth suiting up just for one play?
I think they will, because Andy Reid's a bit of a traditionalist.
Yeah.
And he likes the way he does things. He likes to stick to the same things every year. And every year he does tend to play his starters for one drive, maybe two drives in the first game, then a little bit longer in the second game, and then well into the third quarter for the third preseason game before obviously sitting everyone for the fourth one. Now, obviously this year they don't have the fourth one, I don't believe. I think it is just three preseason games this season. So they haven't got that fourth game to then play all the guys from the back end of the roster to try and fight out for their jobs. So maybe that might accelerate a little bit, and you might see maybe a few more drives in game week one, and then like well into the second half or late into the second quarter for game week two, and then Mahomes sits for the third game. But I do fully expect them all to play, but I just expect it to be like the vanilla version of the Chiefs offense.
Andy Reid's vanilla offense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uninspiring, but just necessary.
Basically, what the Bears' offense is going to be this entire season. Oh
God! In fact, I'm going to have a look at the Bears' roster. Right, I'm going to see who I recognize and who I think is going to be a who. My God! I think their first week one game is actually going to be full of preseason starters. Let's say that. So, I mean, geez, none of that in there really kind of inspires anyone, I don't think. The Bears are going through a bit of a time as well at the moment because they've had some rumblings, haven't they, of a trade request. And they've had injuries on the wide receiving core, which has kind of decimated an already kind of what I would say is a poor core anyway.
Yeah, probably the worst in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you've got N'Keal Harry, he's injured. Somebody called Velus Jones Jr., he's injured. Byron Pringle. Hey, Byron Pringle.
Old friend alert.
You remember, he's injured. He's injured. So it's gonna be quite fun watching the Chiefs versus the Bears. Looking at that roster, man, I don't know if you've got the roster in front of you there, but I mean, quarterback wise as well. I mean, Justin Fields. Now I quite like Justin Fields. I don't mind him. I quite like him. I don't think he's gonna be lighting the league up, but the backups he's got: Nathan Peterman and Trevor Siemian.
Oh wow! So if the Chiefs defensive line do play any like genuine snaps this week, there's an opportunity for them to at least gain confidence. Like, are we expecting Carlos Dunlap and Carl Aftis to get their first sacks for the Chiefs this weekend? Like, surely we must be. Like, well, Nathan Peterman eats sacks for days, doesn't he?
It was definitely interceptions as well.
Yeah, I tell you what, just play all the first team defense against Nathan Peterman. Whenever he's out there, he could be out there for the fourth quarter. Just stick out the first team defense. Let them just have a great time. Build up some confidence. Build some momentum going into the season. Let them just go out there and just absolutely destroy Nathan Peterman.
Yeah,
that would be worth watching.
I mean, it's funny. The Bears, they've been in, but I want to say free fall for some time, but is that fair to say with the Bears? Because they at some point they were kind of getting, you know, they were getting the roster kind of sorted at one point, weren't they? And then, I don't know, looking at that now, I'm thinking, what the hell happened?
That doink game. Like, yeah. That must be like the most damaging playoff defeat I can remember for any team. Like they were genuinely good there. That defense was an all-world defense. They had obviously Khalil Mack killing it. And then they managed to find a way to win with Trubisky. And then obviously the kicks happen. They lose that playoff game. And then since then, it's just been all downhill. The way they built the roster has been horrendous. They've had to replace their GM. They've got, is it Ryan Poles, the former staff member from the Chiefs? He's now their new GM.
Yeah.
They've got Justin Fields. They feel like they've got their quarterback, but just around it, there is just nothing. And like today, like, well, yesterday, rather, Roquan Smith puts in a trade request. Like they're like their all-world, all-star type linebacker. And he's just like, yeah, nah, I don't want to be here anymore. Like,
you think he's looked at the roster as well?
I'm just done. He sends out his own note just saying, yeah, I'm done with Chicago. Like, yeah. No, come get me, Houston.
He came into training camp and he's doing the same as I was doing. He's going, who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Am I on the reserve squad? What's going on?
I'll tell you what, the Bears would have made a crack in Hard Knocks this year. It really would have. But God, yeah. Obviously, that's the rules with new NFL head coaches. They don't tend to put Hard Knocks into those teams because they want the guys to settle. Like, they don't want it straight away. This media circus coming from a Hard Knock. And Matt Eberflus is his first ever season as a head coach, and you don't really want him to walk in, deal with that rubbish of a roster. And then as well as the Hard Knocks cameras, like, that would have been far too much for him to handle, even though it would have been very, very entertaining.
Yeah, I'll talk a little Sky more because I want to save Karloftis for something we're talking about later in previewing the preseason game. But Sky Moore's going to be involved in this offense. I don't know what the fantasy implications are going to be there, but I'm sure everybody's seen the jet handoffs and the jet sweeps and how quickly they're trying to get him the ball in space. It reminds me a lot of what they did with Tyreek Hill, man. I'm going to continue to say that on this podcast. There's a role for Sky Moore in this offense, and Chiefs fans should be excited about that.
Yeah, man, and I know you're talking about me, about Pacheco and having a yellow light on. Well, it's not here for this one.
It's a green light?
It's totally green for it. I am all in on the Sky Moore hype train. And for a reason, what you just said, and it's different, though. He's the receiver in an Andy Reid system, and the way he's already being used, I mean, they're putting him everywhere. And you know, I was saying, you know, I was being cautious for a while. So give me credit, Aaron. For the longest, I was saying he's probably going to be the fourth receiving option, right? But you know what? I'm starting to think he may be number two, man. I'm really starting to believe that. Juju, number one, we know that. But McColl still hasn't put together, from what I've seen, consistent days in a row of good play. He'll look good one day. Then another day, he'll look like, okay, what's going on? You're not on the same page with Mahomes. You know, your route running isn't as crisp. And then obviously MVS is having a lot of drops from what I've heard. And that's been a thing with him for his career. Obviously, he's still one of the best deep threats in the league. But I think it's safe to say that MVS is going to be the fourth wide receiver. I think we can all agree on that at this point, that Sky is ahead of him. And now it's the debate of Sky or McCole Hardman. And at this point, man, I'm going to tell you, Sky Moore is a more polished receiver than McCole Hardman. I don't think that's even debatable.
Did you just say that on this podcast?
Yeah, Sky Moore is the more I mean, dude, look at his release. Look at his route running. Look at his footwork. Look at his hands. He's definitely the better technician than McCole Hardman right now. And that's not to say that McCole Hardman won't have an impact on this team. McCole Hardman's going to have a breakout year. I totally still believe that, because there's still a role for him. Speed, you know, obviously him knowing the system longer. But if you're talking about just pure receiver, it's definitely Sky Moore.
So, and I think that you're not alone in thinking that, but I want to dig a little bit deeper. We're here on Chiefs Coast to Coast, Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. We're on Twitter Spaces on Wednesdays now. And Mark Gunnels just said that he feels Sky Moore is a more polished receiver than McCole Hardman, who's in a contract year. So is that more of an indictment on what you've seen from McCole Hardman entering, which I think is pretty unique, or do you think Sky Moore has just been that impressive in camp?
I think it's more so that Sky Moore has been that impressive. I mean, the catch that he made in traffic the other day, that was just special. I mean, the guy, he had the biggest hands in the draft or something like that. He doesn't drop anything from what I can tell. I mean, he's a sure-handed guy. And, like, I just keep going back to the release, man. Like, his release is really special, man. His footwork. And I tweeted this the other day, man. I'm going to stand on it. He his skill set reminds Bill Brown. And that's something that somebody else has said as well. Shout out to Yuji. He posted the Antonio Brown stats in the group chat today. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of on that wave as well, man. And, you know, they're similar size and height and – you know, the measurables, you stack them together, a lot of things look similar. Obviously, I don't think he's that AB off the field. But as far as on the field, I think it's a lot of characteristics to where you can compare him to Antonio Brown. I know it's lofty expectations, but I truly.
Yeah, I'm not going that far. And it's funny because Pete hit me with, he sent me that tweet on DM.
Oh, really?
My reply was just, you know, Mark Bayless. That's Mark Bayless at it again, man.
Wow.
He can't help himself. He just gets into
so that. You don't see no similarities?
I mean, it's camp, but he hasn't played a snap yet, so I'm not.
But you, I'm just saying, just off the skill set, like you could tell somebody's skill in practice, like their characteristics of how they play the game, without even actually, like, when people saw Mahomes in practice before a game, they were like, this guy looks different. Like, you could tell certain players, even in just practice.
I've said Tyreek Hill as far as his role in the offense, so I'm excited to see what it looks like in the preseason game. We got to keep rolling along. We got a lot to talk about here. Good conversation there. But just quickly, Rashad Fenton back on the practice field, activated off the PUP list. We know that defensive back room is crowded, and it's a lot of young guys in there. Coach Dave Merritt saying the other day that Rashad Fenton not only brings a lot of leadership, but also a lot of experience as a guy that's played in Super Bowls for this team and knows the defense well and the scheme and what they like to do. Got to be good to have him back in the fold. Doesn't sound like he's going to be playing in this first preseason game, but the sooner the better to be on the practice field.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise as well, because it allowed other guys to get more reps, especially like your Joshua Williams, right? So, and we know what Fenton is. We know that he's a very, very solid corner. He didn't allow a touchdown last year. So, you know, he knows the system and all of that stuff. So I don't think it was that deal that he missed the first couple weeks of practice. But I think it was great for Joshua Williams to get those reps because I'm really high on him too. I think he's underrated coming from an HBCU. Obviously, I think people maybe had a bias against that considering the competition he went against. But he did go to, I think, the Senior Bowl where he played against those guys, you know, those guys like Ohio State and Alabama. And he struggled at first, but he held his own. I think that really helped his stock. So I think that will pay dividends down the road because he's going to be a guy that's going to be plugged in there, you know, as a rotational piece. And obviously, we know injuries happen as well. So I really, really think that's the bigger thing with Fenton missing time is having a guy like him get those reps.
Hey, man, you stole the words right out of my mouth. We're talking three players we're going to be monitoring when the Chiefs and the Bears face off Saturday in Soldier Field. And a lot of mine are rookies. I was going to say Josh Williams for that exact same reason. I think whether he's a starter or the corner, wherever they try and mix him in, he's going to have to play a valuable role for his defense. I know it's just preseason, but I feel like he is somebody that I will be watching going into get into that game. Let's go back and forth. I don't want to go three in a row. You go three in a row. I gave my first one since we already talked about Joshua Williams. Who's your first one?
All right. I hope we don't have too much of the same guys. But I mean, this is an easy one, but how can I not say it? It has to be Sky Moore. I mean, yeah. That's my number one most excited guy to watch. I don't have to even go.
There you go.
I don't have to go into too much detail of why. I kind of already went on my Sky Moore subtlety there, so I'm good on that.
So we stayed rookies. I'll go with a veteran player, and Pete and I talked about this a lot after practice yesterday. I'm excited to see Frank Clark in action, man. This is a guy who's come back with a different mentality, and I thought his tweet from last night was really cool. It was actually his first tweet, I think, in over a year. Frank Clark kind of.
Oh, coming. Look at Aaron Ladd, the tweet watcher.
Well, I mean, he left Twitter, and you should know, you active in the Twitter streets, you should know a lot about what Frank Clark is on. I thought it was cool to see him say, and this is just a little bit in part, this tweet yesterday, he says, I'm 29, I still don't know it all, I'm still growing and learning life. I got plenty of room to grow. I'm a stand-up guy, I'm not afraid to admit my flaws. I mean, it seems like he's coming back with a better mindset. We know he gave up red meat, we know he gave up liquor. And we know he gave up some money in that restructured deal as well to come back to Kansas City. It seems like Frank Clark is going to be crucial to what Kansas City is going to be doing against the offensive line. I want to see, even if in limited snaps, I want to see what he can give to that defensive line and that pass rush.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, let me get my second one. So actually, my other one's, I guess, yeah, he's a veteran now, I guess you could say at this point. I'm going to say Colin Saunders, man. You know, with the Chiefs picking up Danny Shelton, that kind of tells me maybe he might be a cut candidate, man, because that D-line room is pretty, pretty thick now. And, you know, he's been a guy that hasn't been able to stay healthy. Obviously, we know that the potential has always been there. I mean, the guy's a hell of an athlete. But, you know, with them picking up Danny Shelton, you know, that's kind of a wake-up call. Like, hey, Saunders, I know you've been kind of skating on thin ice these last couple years, but we need to see something, man, because you may get cut.
Man, it's been interesting to hear you put guys on the chopping block, man. We're giving our players that we're watching ahead of the preseason game. My first two were Joshua Williams and Frank Clark, and I think I'm going to stick with defense for number three, another rookie, George Karlaftis. And I think that's the number one guy the Chiefs fans have their eye on entering preseason play. Expectations may be a little bit tampered down because of the addition of Carlos Dunlap and kind of the 96 sacks that he brings with him, the better experience that brings with him. So maybe you're not as worried about the unit as you were before that signing, but George Karlaftis still comes in with high expectations. Still is a guy that you're expecting 5+, 6+. I think Mark said 8 on a previous podcast. You want to see him hit the ground running. You want to see what his bull rush looks like against somebody not wearing a Kansas City Chiefs jersey. You want to see him gain ground as quickly as possible and make an impact on rushing the passer. So I went with three defensive guys as far as guys that I'm watching, and Joshua Williams, Frank Clark, and George Karlaftis.
All right. So I didn't want to go another rookie, but you didn't name him. So I was actually surprised you didn't. So I'm going to name him Pacheco. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The hype is crazy right now. So how can you not be excited to see him in live action? And like I mentioned earlier, I think he's going to get a lot of playing time, not only in this game, but in the second and third game as well. Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious one as well. So I'm going to say him. But I'm going to give a bonus one, Drew. I want to go defense one more time. And he's not a rookie. What about Justin Reed? I think that's intriguing as well, man. I mean, you know, he's kind of that. Huh?
The game, dog. You had three. And now you want to name everybody on the
team? Well, because it was so easy to name the rookies. So I feel like we needed to, you know, mix up a little bit. And, you know, Justin Reed, you know, he's a new guy. I mean, he's not a rookie, but he's a new addition to the team. You know, kind of filling in that Matthew role. I'm not sure how much he's going to play, obviously, but I'm kind of interested to see how, you know, he controls that back end of the defense. And obviously, this is not the best test going against the Chicago Bears offense. I mean, my gosh. This may be the worst offense in the NFL. I feel bad for Justin Fields, by the way. But but I digress. I'm still interested to see him, you know, be that leader, putting guys in the right positions. And because, you know, he talks a really, really good game. And, you know, he's a hard-hitting safety. So I'm really curious to see how he looks.
Anyway, Saturday, the game is Saturday, so you have a little time coming up. I think a lot of when we get in these games is what you're looking for, what players you're watching for, who you're excited about, and at least, or maybe not even excited, but who you just want to see. And I'm going to let you take this because I'm going to have to take multiple breaths to respond to you, BK. And who your number one person to watch is in this game, because many people in Kansas City are allowing this to completely get away from them.
Okay.
Take it away.
So we talked about this a little bit last time we were on the air when Ron wasn't here for the 17th time over the last month.
It's three times.
Yes.
Missed this.
Three the best times. Vacation package in the history of Vox Media.
That's true.
So Isaiah Pacheco. I have not seen him in person. I have not seen him apparently just shredding the Chiefs defense all training camp. I have not talked to people within the Chiefs organization who have said he is basically Kareem Hunt that runs a 4-3. However,
good God,
others who cover the team, notably Pete Sweeney, Nate Taylor, both of whom I trust implicitly, have seen all of these things and have heard these things from the organization. Ron, I just want to see it. Like, if he is as good as the organization is leading seemingly everybody that covers the team to believe, he should be awesome on Saturday when the Chiefs play Saturday, not Friday, against the Chicago Bears. Because a running back who's coming in, you can see the burst. You can see the potential of being a big-time player. That should show itself at some point over the course of the game on Saturday against the Bears. I just want to see it, man. I'm not saying I am skeptical. I'm not saying I believe it. I don't know right now because we haven't seen him. And so for me, the number one most intriguing player to watch on Saturday is Isaiah Pacheco because of the amount of hype that he is getting in camp. It's unlike anything I can remember since probably Tyreek Hill's rookie year for a rookie. I'm trying to think of somebody since then that's been this kind of hyped. And I remember Tyreek Hill's rookie season when he was with the Chiefs. I remember Therese Paylor saying he looks like Antonio Brown. And that's the kind of hype we're seeing right now out of Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, God.
So I will say that rookie season for Tyreek, I was at a lot of those training camp practices and you could just tell like Tyreek was different. Like you could just tell when he's on the field, he looks like he is one of the best football players on the field. And I don't get to go to training camp anymore the way that I used to. So I have not seen that in Isaiah Pacheco, but I do trust what like BK was saying, like what these reporters are saying about him. And you know, Brett Veach, after the NFL draft, he was asked about drafting Pacheco, and Veach was strong in what he said and saying like, yeah, we're firm believers in thinking that we can find like 1,000-yard rushers late in the NFL draft, which I think was kind of a shot at Clyde because they took Clyde number one in the first round.
You certainly didn't find it at the end of the first round.
Yeah. But it's just everything's there for him to be a good NFL player. Like, we talk about the speed, and he's got more size. He's bigger than Clyde. He's thicker than Clyde, and he's explosive. And that's the biggest problem with Clyde, is that Clyde doesn't look like a bad NFL running back, but when you watch other really good NFL running backs, you see the burst, you see the explosion, you see with Jonathan Taylor and guys like that, and these top running backs in the NFL, Clyde's just not that dude. He doesn't have that at the NFL level. But the promise of Pacheco having that is something that everybody is latching on to, on top of the fact that he can pass block, he can catch passes. He did all of that at the college level. He just happened to play for a really bad college program in Rutgers, so that probably didn't help his draft stock. But I'm not expecting him to be Kareem Hunt as a rookie. That would be insane. But I think he is going to be a good player. I'm excited to see him play.
I am intrigued to watch him too, because the hype has been ridiculous and out of control. Kareem Hunt, 4-3. Like, here's why I'm skeptical about running backs. In running backs in situations where we've not seen them in full go. Because, listen, you guys have been to training camps. This still ain't full go. Like, even if they're in pads, like, we're slowing down. They're not, this isn't just like he's in game. So, listen, running backs, those are the guys that look the best, especially if you have really good speed. All right. His vision's not being tested like it would be in a regular game when they're playing the way they do. And, like, the sexy things is what people really look at a lot. Oh my God, that 4-3 speed. Look at that. Boy, he can catch it. Whatever. See, with running backs and running backs on this team, it's not the sexy, right? It is the, you can't get on the field. That's one thing when Kareem, and remember there was speculation about Kareem and his ability in pass protection early. Mm-hmm. Like, there was concern about that. Well, that was Alex. Okay. You can't blow protection here, right? You can't have problems with protection here. And I know they have said and raved and feel really good about him in pass protection. But you really cannot understand that until you get into a real game situation to see how he is going to react to that. And can we just get to the closest thing to a real game situation before we just roll? Because that is the one position where you can look. Running backs can look really explosive, but they're not facing what's going to happen in a real game, even when you are in pads in training camp. So, yeah, I'm interested in watching him, but I'm interested in watching him, how he handles blitz packages, if they see any of that, how he handles pass protection on who's supposed to come and who he's supposed to pick up, and remembering who he's supposed to pick up, and if they don't go, what route he's supposed to run. Like, I'm interested in seeing all of those little things that you have to have, because 15 is the most important thing back there, and you can't mess that up. I don't care if you run a 4-3, if you're Kareem Hunt and everything, but if you get him hit, your ass got to sit down, and they're gonna put in guys that they trust with that. I feel comfortable with that, and like I just there's a reason he's a 7th round pick, right? Like, let's slow down. I know Terrell Davis has made it to the Hall of Fame being undrafted. And I know there are some examples, right? But let's calm down. If that kid was Kareem Hunt with a 4-3, I doubt he'd be sitting in the 7th. So I just want to calm myself. Maybe he's had a really good practice. I know he's gotten Ronald Jones's ass cut, but I know he's had a really good practice, but, like, I'm not going in here with crazy expectations of the stuff that I've read.
I just want to see what kind of role he can carve out for himself. To your point on the pass protection and everything, like, so let's say that he does end up showing out. Let's say all of the hype that we're hearing is real. It shows itself on the field on Saturday, and then he follows that up with a couple of good performances against Washington, and then whether he plays or not, whatever, against Green Bay. Like, let's go down this hypothetical path where we leave this game, and next Thursday we're on here, and we're saying, oh, boy, this Isaiah Pacheco, this is real.
And I do want to say, BK, insert, I'm not saying that the kid can't be the things that people are reporting. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've watched enough of it. I'm just saying, like, hold up.
Sure. Like, and I think it's fair to be skeptical, but the reason why I'm asking this is like, man, I'm super curious to find out what that role looks like, because they do trust Clyde as much as he has been underwhelming relative to what his draft capital was. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a solid running back. You'd like to see a little more get up and go. He only has in his career now six rushes of 20 or more yards. That is super disappointing, considering he was supposed to be a guy that could get you some big gains. He has not done much through the air compared to what we were all hoping for, and he hasn't been a third down running back yet at this point in his career. So where is that role for Pacheco? Is it the guy that's going to come in on third downs? Because I thought that was going to be Jerick McKinnon. Is it the guy that's going to be in on early downs? Because I thought that was going to be Clyde. That's what I'm most interested in finding out is, okay, he is good, as good as expected. Now what? Where does that leave him? And I hope that that's a conversation we're having next week. But, man, first we just got to find out if this guy can play the way that people are saying.
And I think he's locked in as the kick returner, right? So if early season he looks explosive there and he's making plays and he's got a couple of kick returns for touchdowns or, you know, big plays or whatever, then he gets sprinkled into the offense here. If he shows explosion, he's going to play himself into a bigger role. Like, Jerick McKinnon's going to be the third down back to start the season. Like, I'm totally confident in that. Like, he
and
is
Clyde's going to be the starter.
Yeah. And yeah, Isaiah Pacheco.
That just doesn't lead much for Pacheco then.
Yeah. It's going to be through the special teams, I think, early season, where if he's making plays on special teams and looking explosive, they're going to say, okay, we got to get him on the field on offense and find a way to utilize him. And that's how he's going to be able to carve out a role for himself, that or an injury or something like that. Other than that, he's going to be the RB3,
which is very possible with the guys that are potentially in front of him.
So he's going to be early Chiefs career Damian Williams then, where it took an injury for him to get on the field and become the starter down the stretch in 2018. Is that what we're looking at?
And that's if he is close to what people are saying.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a big trust factor that you have to have in that position for this team. That the coaches have to be completely honest that you know what you're doing, and you know your assignment. So we'll see. But I'm intrigued to watch him.